And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk more about climate change. Climate change. We have some exciting audio to play here on the show today, which when I saw it and I heard it, I'd heard about this for years, but I'd never actually seen a video clip like this from a documentary featuring, of all people, Leonard Nimoy. Leonard Nimoy, who is one of the great documentary narrators and presenters, I think, in the history of the 20th century. He's like the perfect guy when giving a presentation or a documentary. He's got a great voice, great presence. Of course, he was Mr. Spock on Star Trek. And for those of us who remember watching the show back in the 1970s, Leonard Nimoy, always a very, very special character, a special person. But we're going to play a clip here on the show from the History Channel all the way back in 1979 and what they were saying about environmentalism and what the direction was going to be for the environment in the years ahead. And you're going to hear some of the climate alarmism from that time, and we're going to talk about how it has changed. Very quickly, I wanted to play this clip. Many of you have probably heard it, but just to remind ourselves of what's been going on with Greta Thunberg and her entertainment parents. She's got a father who's an actor, a mother who's a singer, and it would appear that they coached her in terms of giving her speeches here on environmentalism. But here's a quick clip just to remind ourselves. Listen.
This is all wrong. I shouldn't be up here. I should be back in school on the other side of the ocean. Yet you all come to us young people for hope. How dare you? You have stolen my dreams and my childhood with your empty words. And yet, I'm one of the lucky ones. People are suffering. People are dying. Entire ecosystems are collapsing. We are in the beginning of a mass extinction. And all you can talk about is money and fairy tales of eternal economic growth. How dare you?
Okay, and then the applause, of course. Now, we should say, it's very important to say that this young girl, Greta Thunberg, is really, she is being misused. She's really being abused, I think, by her parents and the people in her life, the adults, the older people who have conditioned her to think this way. She is, in a sense, I think she's really a victim. Because she gets very emotional when she's giving these speeches, but the speeches are written out for her. There's another video clip that surfaced of her and other young people that they put on a panel, all of these young kids, really, talking about the climate and what about our future and our future is going to be ruined and all this kind of thing. And one of them asked Greta Thunberg a question that she didn't have a script for. And she went quiet. She started to say a couple of things, but simply did not have anything to say. And it seems clear that she has been conditioned, whether by her parents. I find it very interesting that her father is an actor, and it's very possible that he's coached her, given her acting lessons and, you know, written out her speeches for her, or somebody else has. And then, you know, they've coached her on how to communicate this and get emotional and this kind of thing, because that seems to be what she's doing. But when she has to talk about this on her own, off script, she's not so well able to do so. And she's obviously being used by these globalists for this agenda. Now what I want to play is I want to play this clip from the History Channel, a presentation that they did all the way back in 1979 when they were promoting an Ice Age scare. And this clip is just over a minute long. I want you to listen. Listen to what Leonard Nimoy is saying and how completely different it is back in 1979 versus what we are being told today. Listen.
The data shows that average temperatures in the Arctic have fallen dramatically over the last 30 years. In most locations, the drop has been about 2 degrees centigrade. At that rate, the descent to ice age temperatures could take less than 200 years. It is not only the lonely Arctic that has cooled. The whole northern hemisphere is growing steadily colder.
Little doubt that someday the ice will return. At least 8 times in the past million years, it has advanced and retreated with clockwork regularity. If we are unprepared for the next advance, the result could be hunger and death on a scale unprecedented in all of history. What scientists are telling us now is that the threat of an ice age is not as remote as they once thought. During the lifetime of our grandchildren, Arctic cold and perpetual snow could turn most of the inhabitable portions of our planet into a polar desert.
Okay, and it cuts off right there at the end, but what he says is could turn parts of our planet into a polar desert. That's what he's saying. But you can hear what he's saying. He's saying in the lives of our grandchildren, he's saying, we're about to enter into a new ice age. The global cooling. We're going into an ice age. Now, this is 1979. By the time you get by 1988, the New York Times published an article in which they said, quote, global warming has begun. So from 1979 to 1988, just 9 years, they went from the scientists are telling us now. In 1979, the scientists are saying that we're about to enter into a new ice age. And by 1988, they'd flipped it around. Now it's global warming. But they're not telling all of this to the kids in school. They're not going to show the kids in the high schools and in the regular schools this video clip of Leonard Nimoy back in 1979 predicting the new ice age and that the scientists are saying the ice is coming and this kind of there. And then to say, well, then they flipped it around and now they've completely changed their mind. And obviously that calls the credibility of their capability to foretell these things and to accurately discern what's going on. That calls all of that into question. But see, they don't want to be called into question. So now they're trying to come up with ways to fashion laws, or at least they're talking about it, to find ways to punish climate change deniers, and this kind of thing. And they're getting Hollywood involved. In fact, Harrison Ford is on some environmental committee, and he just gave a speech here recently and talking about how these young people that are coming forward, that the thing we need to do is to get out of their way and let them go and be the ones to solve this problem for the next generation. But the inconsistencies of it are not being discussed. They're being brushed aside. And what is the global warming thing? Just if you haven't figured this out, for anybody who might be hearing this program and you haven't really looked into it, global warming is simply a totalitarian power grab. It is an attempt by these globalist powers to try and seize the wealth and the politics of the planet, they hope, because they're creating this alarm, this problem, the problem and solution. So you have to create a problem. The problem is, well, the whole world's going to be destroyed in 10 or 12 years, if something's not done, we need an emergency plan. To do what? Well, to seize wealth and control of people's lives. We have to control what you're eating, whether or not you drive a car, whether or not you fly a plane, whether or not you are able to do anything. We have to control every aspect of your life so that we can save the environment. And that's what the Green New Deal is about. The Green New Deal is simply a totalitarian power grab. And if you study the Green New Deal, they go from environmentalism into social justice issues, where they argue that, well, all of this pertains to somehow the fact that they need a big, massive redistribution of wealth program. That's also got to be done. And, of course, the people who are promoting this are notoriously hypocritical. Notoriously hypocritical. There's a story here on Fox News about Leonardo DiCaprio slamming the climate change deniers. And the subtitle says, quote, "Stars attend climate change summit in private jets and yachts." They flew all these private jets and yachts, apparently, to come to some climate change summit. So they're doing exactly what they say we need to stop doing. People just shouldn't be burning up all this fuel and emitting carbon, all this other kind of stuff. And yet they're the worst offenders. The worst offenders. Something's got to be done by, you know, people need to be making sacrifices, just not them. That's the problem with it. It is an elitist power grab. They want to control the lives of the little people, but they have no intention of changing their own behavior. They want everybody else in the bread line, but they're not going to go stand in the bread line. They want to be the elitist, the upper class, that doesn't have to deal with all of that. You have Prince Harry and his wife, Meghan Markle, the Duchess of Sussex. They are liberals and environmentalists and so on, and they're into this whole thing. And you got a story here at Breitbart News that says Harry and Meghan used a fleet of vehicles specially shipped from the UK to Africa to go there and talk about climate change. And the story says, quote, "Prince Harry and the Duchess of Sussex, Meghan Markle, used a special fleet of Range Rovers shipped from the UK to carry them and their traveling Scotland Yard police escorts on their current 10-day trip to South Africa. The Times reports the special 4x4s were drafted in for the climate campaigners because organizers behind the royal visit were unable to locally obtain cars suitable for Harry, Meghan, and baby Archie." Now, of course, the energy involved with this, environmentally speaking, is incredibly wasteful to be doing this kind of thing. And their use of private jets. This is because, why? Because they're big-time environmentalists. That's why. Prince Harry said at one point, concerning all of his private jetting around with his wife, he said, quote, "I have always offset my CO2. I think part of the group discussion that we had earlier is, what is offsetting CO2? Then it says, "The past 2 months have been busy for the royal pair, with them spotted at one stage taking 4 private jet flights in just 11 days. And they're not politicians. It's not like they're signing treaties and doing something like that. They're just going and visiting people. It's not especially necessary for them to take these trips. Not at all. And they could certainly take other modes of transportation. You know, the celebrities could all decide they're all going to take one plane together, but they're not doing things like that. They're not doing the things that they think everybody else needs to do, but they want everyone to believe that there is this global emergency and everybody's got to get on board right now or else. It is a power grab. That's what it is. And I think that's why, you know, part of me thinks that these celebrities, it's hard to say who knows and who doesn't know who's in on it, but it's hard to believe that they really believe this stuff based upon how they live their lives. Sorry. Let's go to our commercial break. We will talk more when we come back right after this.
Ministry, Adalam Films presents A Lamp in the Dark, the untold history of the Bible. Enter into a world of saints and martyrs battling spies, assassins and wolves in sheep's clothing. A Lamp in the Dark unfolds the fascinating history, the Bible, and the lives of the saints who fought to preserve it. This exciting look into the times of valiant men of faith, such as John Wycliffe, William Tyndale, and Martin Luther, is a must-see for any follower of Christ. Filled with rich visual graphics and dramatic reenactments, A Lamp in the Dark is an epic documentary, a powerful witnessing tool for church and Bible study groups around the world. Share with your church, your family, and friends the untold history of the Bible today.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I also knew, living in Memphis on the New Madrin Fault, that there is the possibility of an earthquake. I also know that ice storms can cause the power to go out here, not to mention the threat of terrorism. There were many reasons. So I contacted the company Mountain House and asked if I could become a distributor of their product. I had some of their food when I was in high school on a couple camping trips, and it's really good. But now Worldview Weekend has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. We have one pack that's available. It's a bucket of food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 14 days for one person. Figure out how many are in your family. Figure out how many days you want to have food ready to be put into boiling hot water and have a good meal, and make your order. Now, again, you can order it from someone else, but if you order it from Worldview Weekend, we're not going to charge any shipping and handling. Free shipping and handling. Secondly, it's another way for us to generate revenue to underwrite the expenses of running Worldview Weekend, our radio and television ministry, and our free conference ministry. For more details, just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. We are talking about the environmental issue and how just all the way back in 1979, 40 years ago, it was going to be global cooling and a new ice age. And within a short time, it became global warming. And now, supposedly, the world is going to end within the next 10 years. According to AOC and others, if something dramatic is not done. Here in a minute, we are going to talk about an article. There's an article titled 18 Spectacularly Wrong Predictions Made Around the Time of the First Earth Day in 1970. We're going to go over some of these predictions. But first, what I want to do is to play some audio from Leonardo DiCaprio. He's one of the big environmentalists in Hollywood. And listen to some of what he's saying. It's this kind of thing that has really convicted people like Greta Thunberg and many other young people who don't know any better about what's really going on. Listen. And listen to how they introduce Leonardo DiCaprio at the United Nations.
Please welcome newly appointed United Nations Messenger of Peace, Mr. Leonardo DiCaprio.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary General, Your Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, and distinguished guests. I am honored to be here today. I stand before you not as an expert, but as a concerned citizen, one of the 400,000 people who marched in the streets of New York on Sunday, and the billions of others around the world who want to solve our climate crisis. Every week, we're seeing new and undeniable climate events, evidence that accelerated climate change is here right now. Droughts are intensifying, our oceans are acidifying, with methane plumes rising up from the ocean floor. We are seeing extreme weather events and the West Antarctic and Greenland ice sheets melting at unprecedented rates, decades ahead of scientific projections. None of this is rhetoric, and none of it is hysteria. It is fact.
All right, so notice it's not just rhetoric. He says this is fact. And this is part of what, you know, when I did my research for the Kinsey syndrome years ago, the phrase that comes up again and again and again with Kinsey's research is the concept of junk science. That's what they call Kinsey's research, junk science, that they use fake scientific data to try and convince people of things and get them to go along with some agenda, whatever it is. I mean, this is what Darwinism is all about. Darwinism is all based upon a fake analysis, or really a corrupt analysis of scientific data. And at some points, they've used fakery like the Piltdown Man and so on. I believe that's what's behind the critical text. And the New Bible movement, they use fake science. They claim that they have scientific proof that these manuscripts are the most ancient and reliable and this kind of thing, but it's fake science. It's not real science. And that's kind of what's going on with a lot of the global warming assertions that are being made. They're based upon claims that are quite often provably wrong. Now, we heard when Leonard Nimoy was on the History Channel, we heard what he said. He's saying, well, the scientists agree the ice is coming back. It's getting colder in the Antarctic. The ice is increasing. Now Leonardo DiCaprio is saying, no, now the scientists know it's a fact that it's going the other way. You have, here's an article, before I get to the other one, called Climate Alarm, Failed Prognostications by the Institute for Energy Research. And it has a section called Now or Never Exaggerations, talking about Al Gore in his movie An Inconvenient Truth, that Al Gore prophesied that unless the world dramatically reduced greenhouse gases, we would hit a point of no return. In his book review of Gore's effort, James Hansen unequivocally stated, quote, we have at most 10 years, not 10 years to decide upon action, but 10 years to alter fundamentally the trajectory of global greenhouse emissions. Okay, so 10 years, this is back in about 2006. So that would take us to 2016. Here we are reaching the end of 2019. And obviously they were wrong. So the article says, time is up on Gore's point of no return and Hansen's critical tipping point, etc. And the article goes on to talk about other claims that have been made. For example, back in the late 1980s, it says, the UN claimed that if global warming were not checked by the year 2000, rising sea levels would wash entire countries away. That should have happened 19 years ago. Did not happen. Then you have in 2009, then British Prime Minister Gordon Brown predicted that the world had only 50 days to save the planet from global warming. But 50 days, 6 months, and 8 years later, the Earth seems fine. That's the article. So now they're talking about the Democratic Party using the same platform, saying that what we're in now is the equivalent of World War III. And this is why it's important to look at the history of this whole environmental, I call it the environmental hoax or the environmental scam. It's like having con artists come out and they're hucksters and they're trying to sell you on something that is provably untrue. Now we have another article on the 18 spectacularly wrong predictions that were made back in the year 1970. And we're not going to be able to get to all of them, but I wanted to go over a few of the highlights, the more powerful ones. Back in 1970, Harvard biologist George Wald estimated that, quote, civilization will end within 15 or 30 years unless immediate action is taken against problems facing mankind, meaning environmental problems. This is on Earth Day, the first Earth Day, when they did an Earth Day. Back in 1970, around that same time, we have another quote from Paul Ehrlich. Quote, population will inevitably and completely outstrip whatever small increases in food supplies we make, Ehrlich confidently declared in the April 1970 issue of Mademoiselle. He said, quote, the death rate will increase until at least 100 to 200 million people per year will be starving to death during the next 10 years. This is in 1970. 100 to 200 million people starving to death from 1970 to 1980. No, that did not happen. Mr. Ehrlich also went on to say that between 1980 and 1989, he said some 4 billion people, including 65 million Americans, would perish in the Great Die-Off, he called it. The quote, the Great Die-Off. 4 billion people, that's like most of the people on the planet. It did not happen between night, obviously did not happen. But this kind of ridiculous, absurd, over-the-top alarmism, this is nothing new. This has been going on for decades, folks. And what does the Bible tell us? The Bible tells us that as time goes on, evildoers and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But we're also told to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather to expose them. And that's what we're doing today. We're trying to make sure that our audience is equipped to confront all of this climate hoax propaganda that's out there, because it's being employed at the highest levels of government, mass media, the news, etc. This is like an information onslaught, really a misinformation onslaught. All right, but we are out of time. That is going to do it for us today. That's our show. We'll stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.